Contracting process, when contracting for capabilities, services, business functions, products, and so on, it is important to follow a formal process. Parts of this process include the total cost of ownership and make or buy analysis. The general process presented next assumes that only the first few steps would be taken if the results of the make or buy analysis point to make, in which case, the operation or product slash service would continue to be done in-house, would be offshored but owned, or would be insourced. The following steps in the contracting process are iterative. Steps might be revisited or taken in a slightly different order. Begin with the end in mind and document plans. Set objectives and success criteria for the sourcing initiative. Create project plans with timetables, responsibilities, and deliverables. Get approval and funding. Communicate with staff to manage morale. Analyze strategic imperatives. Do a core competency analysis and assess fit with organizational, supply chain, and logistics strategies. If the element is or should be a core competency, then make instead. Analyze costs and the as-is state. Assess the current costs of doing the activity or producing the good or service. This will be a baseline for comparison. Assess the costs of each alternative using total cost of ownership analysis and make or buy analysis. If the economics point to make, stop here. Select providers. Once a decision to contract has been made, the next step is to find the right provider. Following the sub-process described here can ensure that providers are given unbiased consideration and important steps are not omitted. As with the larger process, the sub-process is iterative and some steps might be done in a slightly different order. Clarify the requirements and the scope of activities. Clearly document what problem needs to be solved, what will be the provider's responsibility, and, just as importantly, what will not be their responsibility. Scope may include design, management of assets, labor or other third parties, and provision of specific logistics functions, manufacturing, or just parts of a process. Specify deliverables, inputs and outputs with business functions or other providers, and internal staff who will be responsible for the relationship or accountable for success. Identify the type of provider being sought. Should the provider be dedicated to your organization, or can it work with multiple clients? Dedicated providers have a higher cost that usually must be borne year-round, so this option is best when high specialization is needed, when they will be working on proprietary designs or processes and high loyalty is needed, or when throughput will be high enough to make this the lowest cost option. Multi-user services have economies of scale and lower costs, can consolidate loads for more frequent deliveries, and can agilely distribute warehouse capacity such as by balancing seasonality among clients. Their customer service, vehicles, and equipment may be less personalized and customized, however. Locate and research potential providers. Logistics websites and trade magazines can give a general sense of qualified providers. A request for information, RFI, can be sent out describing your organization, the scope and requirements of the contract, and information on the selection criteria, procurement process, and response format. The RFI should have a confidentiality clause both for the information provided and the fact that the area is being considered for outsourcing. Responses should indicate interest, capacity, service area, organizational size and stability, technical competence, references, and so on. Prepare a request for proposal, RFP, or invitation to tender, ITT, or equivalent. The order qualifiers are sent an RFP or ITT. These documents require more work to prepare and respond to. They specify business, technical, and information requirements along with relevant data or schematics. Allowed contract type and pricing structure can be specified, but some large contractors like 3PLs may have more leverage and might use only certain types of contracts. For fairness, all providers should get the same information. Answers to questions later in the process should also be provided to all participants. Provide deadlines for responses and for follow-up questions. Confidentiality for all parties is essential. While a fixed format is necessary, there should be a way for bidders to propose innovative solutions. Evaluate and compare responses. The fixed format will allow for direct comparison of quantitative information, for example, cost per pallet stored, case shipped, etc. Some danger areas include understanding what services are and are not included in a rate, provisions for future costs or cost increases, and any other qualifiers or open questions. Resolve these issues before proceeding using bidder conferences and presentations as needed. A key goal is to get the best value, not necessarily the lowest price. This is the best price for what you are getting in terms of the required service levels, risk levels, and qualitative factors. Qualitative issues may include ethics and sustainability, compatible culture, staff expertise, and information system compatibility. When responses are complex, consider an evaluation matrix spreadsheet with groups like finance, operations, service, and contractor-specific factors. Weight requirements as essential, preferred, and optional. Interview the potential provider's clients to ensure that they are providing realistic responses given their resources and history. Select a contractor and negotiate. When one or more final contractors are selected, negotiations begin by gaining agreement on who should participate, such as legal staff, consultants, and so on. Often, this step includes an on-site assessment or in-person presentations to get a deeper look at the provider's operations or product. In working with 3PLs, for example, it is important to profile their logistics network and your own and determine any gaps. This is also a good time for setting desired improvement goals, which requires comparing the gaps between the as-is and the desired levels of performance. Any final gaps need to be clarified, and this can become a list of negotiation items, wants, and needs. The negotiations should address costs, service levels, and quality, and how to monitor and control and terminate contracts. In addition to contract type and terms and conditions, specify which organization is responsible for which parts of the network, who will make decisions, who will supervise, and how day-to-day operations will be conducted. Joint operating controls should be in place along with policies and procedures, especially for error corrections. You need to get down to the details regarding how risk and reward sharing will work and what each party will do to communicate, share information, develop trust, show financial and time commitment, and resolve issues informally and formally. This might include provision for future phases of the relationship should it meet success criteria. Finalize contract and contract terms and conditions. Sign contract. Once prices and services are agreed upon, legal and expert reviewers determine risks. The contract is amended as needed and then signed. Implement the contract. After the provider is selected and the contract is negotiated and signed, the contract is implemented. Contracts need to include an implementation plan to ensure a smooth initial transition period. This will be a formal project that assigns tasks and communication requirements to each party. Depending on the scope, this step could be short or long and involved. Expect something like fully restructuring a logistics network to take significant time. Champions and project managers will be needed to sustain the momentum, stay on budget, and keep people accountable. Large projects can start with short phases to show quick successes. More expensive investments, such as a shared IT system, could be reserved for later phases. It is a best practice to start as simple as possible and then add complexity incrementally. Reorganize internal processes and transition staff. Change management will be needed to communicate the impact the changes will have on the organization. If a process is outsourced, the interface areas will need to be redesigned to have inputs or outputs go to the contractor. Staff will be nervous about their jobs, and this needs to be addressed up front and honestly right from the start. Note that change management requires its own plans and funding, for example, for career transitioning, plant closings, and culture change. Manage contract relationships. Managing outsourced relationships, especially ones in different cultures, requires a different skill set than internal management. Experience will develop over time. To maintain the relationship, mutually develop strategic, tactical, and operational goals, minimum goals, and stretch goals. Keep these goals living by tracking, reviewing, and updating them regularly. Develop formal and informal feedback channels. The formal channels include regular reports and early communication of promotions and product launches. Informal channels are the vital daily interactions among organizational counterparts. Measure performance in both directions. You should measure the provider's key performance indicators, such as on-time delivery, and the provider should measure your organization's performance, such as total system inventory and management effectiveness. Use metrics that both parties agree upon. Compare actual prices to the contract on a periodic basis. Plan and conduct scheduled and unscheduled audits. Challenge partners to new levels of excellence. Use of continuous improvement philosophies like Kaizen can help make small improvements. A contract renewal point provides a chance to step back and conduct a major assessment and improve an initiative. Recognizing failures can be seen as an opportunity to deepen the commitment.